There is only one supplement that I think almost everyone on this planet should be taking, and that's a full-spectrum and highly bioavailable magnesium supplement because, well, let's face it, ever since the Industrial Revolution, our soil has been depleted of magnesium, and therefore our food is depleted of magnesium. And on top of that, our modern environments, which are inherently overstimulating and stressful, are constantly depleting our body of magnesium. And unlike other nutrients, this is not something your body can produce on its own. It literally needs to get it from the diet. And one individual kind of magnesium alone is not enough. You actually need 7 different kinds to support over 300 biochemical reactions that help regulate your nervous system, red blood cell production, energy production, managing stress and emotions, etc. And so the folks at Bioptimizers have made it very easy and convenient to add back in what the modern world leaves out. They've created Magnesium Breakthrough. Now, I've been taking this for the past 2 years, and the biggest benefits that I've seen are related to my evening wind-down sessions and my sleep. I tend to be pretty overactive in the evenings, just totally overthinking everything that I do. And this has helped me wind down and get more restorative, more efficient sleep. So I wake up feeling way more refreshed, more energized, more clear, more ready for the day. And the way that I see it, sleep is upstream of essentially every other health and wellness related habit and decision. Because if you're sleeping better, automatically you're going to have more regular cravings. You're going to have higher insulin sensitivity. You can derive more of all these inputs like fitness, right? You make more gains, you gain more muscle, you burn more calories, and you wake up feeling refreshed so that you can do it again and again and again. And then beyond the fitness, you have more energy to go for a walk, to do fun activities with friends. You are less stressed, so you can socialize anxiety-free. And you're also going to be retaining, refreshing, and refining your skills and information much, much better, so you won't forget any names. And yeah, I mean, like I said, over 300 biochemical processes that you're supporting with magnesium. Then sleep, I mean, wow, better sleep is just a better life in general. So I found it extremely helpful on a personal level, and I'm sure that you guys will find it helpful too. Your mind and body, and maybe even your spirit will thank you. So anyway, if you want to get a sweet little discount off of this amazing, amazing magnesium supplement from Bioptimizers, all you have to do is visit the show notes. So you scroll down right now, takes just a couple seconds, and boom, you'll have access to all 7 different kinds of magnesium that your body needs. All you have to do is hit the link and use code KYP for Know Your Physio. KYP. That's all. Enjoy 10 to 22% off depending on the package you choose, whether or not you subscribe. I'm obviously subscribed because I don't even want to think about whether or not I'm going to get this essential supplement in the mail. And yeah, hope you guys enjoy that awesome stuff. And that's all for now. I'll see you guys on the show. Well, Barak, here we are, man. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Andres.
Yeah, bro. So we were just talking about a few things here that, you know, with your experience in the army, some of the biggest takeaways, and we were having a conversation about how you're, in a way, integrating and reflecting on your experience and trying to direct this flow and this focus. Well, in a way, bringing it back to life and then redirecting that flow and focus that you had like as you were going into the army, right? So I think that can be a very powerful topic for people because I'm sure when people think about the things that they're capable of, naturally they reflect on an ability that they may have once had or a drive that they once had, and that's sort of like the benchmark for them, right? And so I think a lot of people will sometimes judge themselves and what they can do based on what they have done. And I know that being in the army, you learn a lot about what you're really capable of. So maybe one thing that we can kind of jump into and discuss is, you know, reflecting on your experience, reflecting on your drive, how it's changed and how you're bringing it back to life. And then what people can do to establish a drive themselves and then also maybe increasing that benchmark without having to enroll in the army, let's say. So like what a civilian can do to see what they're really capable of and how to really attack that. So Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Maybe we can start with that loaded question and just you know, shoot the shit.
Yeah. I think that from a civilian perspective, one of the most challenging things is teamwork, something that most people don't really experience on a genuine like level. Teamwork, you can see the face value of it in certain companies, in certain fields of work, but it's nothing like the military. You know, you have people's life at stake. You have a responsibility to watch over for your brother's backs, for their lives. So that, to me, is a different type of teamwork that I think a lot of people post-military do implement. One of my favorite guys to listen to and read is Jocko Willink, and he has a consulting company. These guys can pretty much sit down and just start to dissect what is really wrong with a team by just looking at how people communicate with each other, how the bridge between the leader to the soldiers are, and they can just pick apart a team and tell you right away in 1 hour exactly what's wrong. And a lot of the times you see this with younger kids in sports teams where they're actually start to be challenged with this level of communication, this level of teamwork. And a lot of the times nowadays, it's a lot of solo work. Kids want to outperform everyone else. And you see it very well in basketball, I would say, is the difference between European basketball and Western basketball is that European basketball more so focuses on passing the ball around a lot, more team movement. It's a unity. Whereas on the Western side of the world, basketball is I'm the fastest, the strongest. I'm going to outplay you in however I can. So you start to see the differences there in a lot of sports, I would say. It's an interesting thing because, like, in the Army, you're given a set of objectives, and they're very clear, and you know how to get them done. In life, out of the Army, the objectives gradually just become more and more unclear. You're unsure of what to do on a daily basis at times because you go few years in the military, you're being told what to do. You're given a time to wake up. You're told when to go to bed. You're told when to eat. You have your whole day and your whole year set out for yourself by your commander or by your officer. Whereas once I got released from the military, I found it very hard to even just like wake up to brush my teeth at times. Like I was like, what is going on? In the military, you wake up, first thing you do is you clean your guns, you go brush your teeth, you do the simple things, you make your bed. Civilian life, there were times where I just struggled with the most simple things, and I'm starting to wonder, like, what the hell just happened? It's a struggle that I see in a lot of my buddies post-military. It's a recurring theme amongst a lot of guys, is people lose a bit of touch with the objective of life after. People rely on other people, become too reliant on someone else to give them orders or to tell them how to get their day going the right way. People lose touch with that, and then becomes this whole whirlpool of emotions and just losing touch with yourself. And I'm trying to help a lot of people kind of touch base and to ground them and to remind them what it takes to really just start your day off the right way and to get these objectives done.
And how would you define the balance between teamwork and not being reliant on others?
That's a good question. So part of the book that I'm actually reading right now by Jocko Willink, The Dichotomy of Leadership, talks about exactly this topic and most topics regarding leadership. It's one of the main things I'm taking from it is it talks about being a leader, but not being too much of a leader where you start to push your team away. Because you want your team to be able to be creative, to think freely at the same time while applying the objective and the mission set out by the commander, while also being able to be malleable, meaning that if you were sent out to take out a person or to guard a house, and then you weren't expecting a certain individual to be there or a group of insurgents, then you would have to then rethink the operation. So you want your team to be able to be creative and to work around certain problems during certain situations that you can't simply prepare for. Part of that is just mitigating room for error. You have to show people, you have to give people the chance to know what it's like to be a leader. Part of what we did in Commander's courses, every site. Yeah.
Can I just jump in? You have to show people what it's like to be a leader. Like, as a leader, you have to show the people that you're leading what it's like. In a way, is that to sort of build empathy with the process of being a leader?
Yeah.
It's, build trust?
Yeah. So in Commander's course, everyone switched roles, whether it was taking someone else's weapon, taking someone else's specialty, learning just the basics of what other people are doing. Everyone switches out, learning how to command the team, command the platoon, and because God forbid, if your officer or your commanders were to fall in war, who would lead the team? You need everyone to be prepared and to be able to stand up if the time comes to be able to lead the team. And everyone is taught these things where I served, because we were always preparing for certain situations that wouldn't end up with the best outcomes. So I got a little taste of what it was like to lead groups, have the guys follow me and my orders, and you make mistakes and you learn through those mistakes during the simulations how to correct those mistakes. And a lot of the guys, you'll start to see naturally who can actually lead, who's just naturally a better leader, and other guys who lack, whether it's with confidence, with true leadership skills, communication, all those things. You start to really see those things come out during times of stress. And there's no better time of stress than to be simulating warfare with your team, with live fire, machine guns, rockets, grenades, than that. So it puts things into perspective how people really operate under stress.
And so how have you learned to incorporate some of this in your day-to-day now, right, being out of the Army? And are there any takeaways for, let's say, civilians or the average person tuning in right now that will help them be better leaders and better team members? What would you suggest?
I think communication really is the foundation of this all. Not just communicating with others, but communicating with yourself. Taking notes either in the morning or at the end of your day.
Why at the morning or the end of the day? And what kind of notes?
So where I served, at the end of every week, we would sit down with our officers and our commanders in the room. And we would go over everything that went wrong, everything that went right. The officer would start out with the things that went good. He then would follow with the things that went bad, meaning he would either call an individual out if they did something that they didn't come up and speak about, meaning that if the officer says, be here at a certain time, I won't be there, or don't eat food, don't do this, whatever it may be. If someone were to do something behind the officer's back and didn't speak up, but the officer found out, then he would call these people out in the meeting. It's a very uncomfortable thing at first, but it starts to get people to just communicate, to not fear. We're all human in the Army. Obviously, we try to mitigate that error in operations and whatever it may be, because any small fuck up will get someone killed, and that's the last thing anyone wants to do. So the whole idea of communicating with your officer and your officer allowing you to tell him what he did wrong. And if he lacked communication, if he lacked a certain leadership skill that week, he gave us that space to actually communicate with him. So that way he was actually building a fine line of communication between the soldiers to the commanders to the officers. So every week we would go over all those things, and it allowed us to really understand what our officers were seeing that's wrong with our performance, and also allowing us to hold each and every single person accountable for the things that they do. And that's what builds teamwork, because in the beginning, people start to get angry because there's no such thing as one person fucks up and then you punish that one person. One person fucks up, everyone's getting punished and everyone's going through hell.
Because that's what can't happen in real life, yeah. Right? Like if someone doesn't do something right or doesn't own up to the mistakes that they're making or realize them, then the whole team could get punished in a way.
Yeah, it's the same thing, any group of people, any ethnicity group, if you go around the world and you act a certain way, people are going to look at you and be like, oh, this guy's acting like this, so then probably all these people are acting like that. It's just a weird thing in society that, right. You're part of a team no matter where you are, and you have to carry that image, you have to be respectful, and you have to carry yourself a certain way. And you can break that down and apply that to anything. Goes for work, your family, the Army, for everything. Everyone's a team. There's always a team setting, and like that's your tribe, and like you wanna show that your tribe teaches you well and that you can perform at a high performance with
them. Right, because like no matter who you are or where you are, you're always representing a group of people. It can be based on your, you know, who's your family, who are your friends, what are your hobbies and interests, what's your work life like, because you're always associated, as a human being on this planet, you're always associated with some group. No matter how isolated you are, because then you can look at your genetics, right? Like, what's your religion? Where in the world are you from? Like, so it's like you're always representing somebody, no matter what team on paper you're a part of. And as a result, if you don't stand up for yourself, you're not standing up for them.
I think, like, at the end of the day, it's a very heavy thing to take in, because it's a lot of pressure. Because when you really start to break that down, it's like, holy crap, like, I have to always be on my A game to represent whatever team that I'm on, whether it's my family, my unit, my business, my friend's business, if I'm working for them. Like, it's a lot of pressure. But at the end of the day, when you start to understand the beautiful things of life, is that those teams are what builds brotherhood. And that's what your family's all about. You have your family that you're born with your blood, and then you have the family that you get to choose. Now, if you go to work and you work at a hedge fund and you're just there to make money and you're making a ton of money and you're on your solo mission, but you have a team of guys that you're just disconnected from, then yeah, I mean, do what you got to do. But like at the end of the day, if you build that connection with a team, those guys are going to be with you. They're going to struggle with you. They're going to eat the same shit with you. They're going to poop the same shit, and they're going to be literally with you at all, like from the moment you start your day to the end. And that's what a lot of people are missing in life, because I do understand that everyone wants to get to a certain point, economically speaking, where they are free and they're able to do what they want to do. And they want to do it on their own, because the pride, the honor of saying, I conquered this by myself.
You want to take all the credit.
Yeah. But I think that's a false attitude, because there's no such thing as any single one person just making that one thing. There's always a team of guys or women behind every successful thing in this world. Everything that's great took a lot of people to make pretty much everything that we use these days. And a very common thing that me and all my boys say, and it's a lot of people say it, but like, no one is eating at the table alone. We're all going to be eating at the table together. There's no such thing as any of us are going to be up there. Like, we all are doing it together. And it's really critical for people to find that those kind of friends and that brotherhood, where people actually aren't just doing things for themselves, but they actually love and care for each other so much that you're able to express such love without being like, oh, he's going to make fun of me because like I'm super expressive, and guys are told like, oh, whatever, don't be like that. But like, me and my boys were just very open, transparent with each other about what we want to achieve in life and like how we're going to actually do it, because everyone has a set of strengths and weaknesses. And the whole idea of communicating with yourself is to be real and honest with yourself and ask yourself, what aren't I good at? I have friends that are really good at certain things that I'm not as good at. I'm not saying use people for what they're better at for, but become friends with them, build a real relationship, and build things together and fill in those gaps. Like, there's no other better way to do it.
And the credit that you can take, the things that you can take credit for mutually are going to be far above and beyond anything that you could have done individually. Yeah. And nothing is truly individual is what you're saying. But if you can really hone in on that teamwork without being reliant on others, but building these bonds, these friendships, you're going to accomplish things that are far above and beyond anything you could do by yourself. Yeah. You know, one of the biggest takeaways that I got from my podcast with Ariel Nurieli, one of our mutual best friends who, in a way, you served with. I know he's going to be tuning in. So a huge shout out to Ariel. What a fucking homie. We both stayed in his place in New York, just days separate from each other, right? Like, you were there a couple of days before me, sleeping over his place.
2 days before you came to New York, I had to leave. And Ariel was like, stay, just stay. And I was like, oh, man.
I was there for like a week. Dude, that couch is unbelievably comfortable. I loved staying with him. And just his energy too, you know? So one of the biggest takeaways from our podcast about a year ago was that leaders don't take credit, you know, and that really blew me away, man, because, you know, I think if you look at like entrepreneurs, you know, a lot of what I do is entrepreneurial, right? And there's a lot of what I do that is totally I feel like I'm on a mission, but in a way, I also feel like a lot of my mission is totally independent. It's to fulfill, to fill the void. You know, if you look back at my life, it's like in a way to fill a void, and something that I want to take credit for. But what he taught me is, you know, leaders don't take credit. Like, leaders are there to do a lot of things, and they're there to empower other people. And in the process of empowering others, you can accomplish things for the world or for a certain group or for a certain family, like whatever you want to scale this to. And that you're not there to take credit. You're there to be a leader. Leadership doesn't mean taking credit. Leadership means accomplishing things that are much bigger than yourself. And so you can't just say, all right, I'm going to be a leader and like, look at what I did. No. It's you are enabling other people to accomplish something much bigger than yourself.
Yeah. I think a big part of that is humility at the end of the day, because in order, like, a lot of people can be a leader, but it, to what extent are you going to achieve your workers or your soldiers' respect? Because at the end of the day in the army, they're going to respect the rank, but at the end of the day, are you going to then finish your service with a band of brothers, or are you going to just finish your service with a bunch of guys who had to listen to you because you're a rank above them, but you're an asshole the whole time? Yeah, I mean, you have leaders that do seek out a lot of that credit and a lot of that spotlight. But I think that's what separates the true leaders at the end of the day, the people that really take humanity to another level and show people how to lead correctly. Because at the end of the day, I do understand that everyone wants to have that part of like their hero arc or story where they did something great and then they got their 9 seconds of fame. But if you can veer away from that and push against all that crap, that doesn't matter. Focus on the goal, create something that truly is beneficial to people and can help them. And also be so humble to the point where you can send the guys right below you to talk at all the shows for you and to take care of all that spotlight. That's true humility. A lot of people nowadays with social media are striving for that and are seeking that. And when you seek something that aggressively, there's a deeper issue at root.
And sacrifice that you're making because you're not achieving the things that you could otherwise achieve if you give the people that work with you that kind of credit and that kind of power. You know, you're in a way it's like a self-limiting process.
Yeah, it's also like that's a lot of mental energy spent on bullshit that doesn't really benefit you other than your ego. Like, how much more do you want to feed that ego? It's a lot of it. A lot of people need to ground themselves, I think, and to understand that if they were to channel all that energy that they're trying to focus on getting in the spotlight back into their business, back into the mission, to the objectives, back into communicating, back into writing every morning, every night, how do I better my next day? They'll be far better off, far better, happier, and just much more clear-minded, I think, at the end of the day.
And so bringing it back to this notion of, or this practice of writing or journaling in the morning and in the evening, in a way that's a way to hold yourself accountable for what you would otherwise get. Like, you were comparing this to the army, right? Like, in the army, you have this debriefing at the end of the week with your team. And so in a way, this is like how to do this with yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And then as far as, you're making a really good point. I want to make sure I don't lose my train of thought. So this practice, whether you're reflecting on your own terms in the morning, in the evening, journaling, or whether you're debriefing with your team, you know, these two exercises and practices, what they represent is this ability to reflect and identify your strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, we're speaking a lot about how going to the army, like going out of your way to do something that most people would never do, it obviously teaches you through these practices, in a way, not just being in the army, but through the dedicated practice of outlining your strengths and weaknesses, you can really recognize what you're capable of, right? And that's how you sort of set a benchmark. Like, so much of the army is exactly that, right? Yeah. And I've never been in the army, so please jump in and cut me if I'm wrong. Okay. But a lot of identifying what you're really capable of is having these debriefings on a personal and on a team level. And so do you believe that with this level of dedicated introspection and self-reflection, that people can really sort of push that limit as civilians in a way? Like for the average person tuning in right now, do you think that a dedicated practice to self-reflect and to ask themselves these questions that they can really enable these new benchmarks?
Yeah, I think just with just like anything in life, with practice and consistency, the more you speak to yourself and the more you write down these thoughts or things that you're aware of, the better you're going to become at it. Most people are afraid to even go out and talk to people nowadays. So like, I wonder how difficult it is for them to actually be honest with themselves and bring these realities to life on a piece of paper. Yeah, I think that's applicable to everything, to anyone and anything. You can scale it down to the smallest things. You can scale it up to the biggest things. Communication is the fundamental core of like just human beings. It's what allows us to live with each other. It's what allows us to actually understand what's going on in our brain. So I think that when people start to really be honest and write down these thoughts, whether it's something, even if it's just a simple conversation, if you walk to a Starbucks and you walk and open the door and then you don't leave the door open for someone, that person comes and says like, oh, thank you for holding the door for me. It makes a little small comment. And then you respond in a way that's, you know, you didn't have to really let out that kind of energy, but for some reason, some people like to push back against certain energy that's thrown towards them. So like, are people going to then ask themselves, did I really need to say that? Did I really had to act that way? Or was it just the monkey inside of me that just wanted to like fight back? Ask yourself and reflect on your behaviors from the smallest to the biggest things, because most people are so caught up upon like their performance at work, their business, the money that's coming in, the money that's going out. But like, I think a lot of people miss the smallest things, which falls and bleeds into pretty much everything, which is your behavior at home, the way you treat your body. If you're neglecting colleagues with your lack of communication, if it's all those things, oh, they all bleed into everything in life. And I think the more that people really tap into inside of their head and start to understand where they can correct such small things is when it starts to see bigger room for improvement. Because like in the army, what you do is you're always trying to mitigate room for error. Like there's always things that you cannot train or prepare for. Shit will hit the fans and, you know, balls to the walls, everyone's losing their minds. But you train, you simulate, you train, you simulate, you shoot, you run, you walk, you carry, and you just keep doing that until you're at least like there's little to no error. And people either aren't subject to that. They don't experience that because people aren't really... most people don't experience like what people get pushed through in the army, because like no one wants to be told what to do every day. No one wants to be uncomfortable. No one wants to eat crappy food. No one wants to dress like everyone else. People want to do their own thing. So I think a lot of people are losing key elements in life that can really push them further beyond the threshold that they're currently capable of thinking of.
Right. And so it's like in these micro transactions that you have with human beings as you live your life, if you get those things right and if you can mitigate the error there, it's a small difference that adds up and gives you the necessary reflection to understand what are your real strengths and weaknesses, what are the thought patterns that are working against you, not for you. Right. So it's like these little things, these little transactions add up to make a big difference, and they inevitably influence the bigger things in your life.
Yeah.
Right. Like that interaction that you may have with someone who is or isn't holding the door, what does it actually represent? You know, and you know, something I wanted to ask you here is, let's say you extrapolate this to civilian life. When you're in a moment of real chaos, how do these small transactions influence your behavior then?
One of the best things I learned from the army, which is so simple, we were taught how to go from 0 to 100, then 100 to 0. Whenever I'm facing something that I think most people would kind of like lose their minds over or just get a little frustrated with, I always just close my eyes and just take a breath. It's super important. Your control of breath, your control of your body is vital to your well-being, your performance. And people really look over how critical it is just to take a deep breath sometimes. I think that could stop or at least mitigate a lot of silly decisions that are made on a daily basis by most of us.
It's an opportunity to find presence.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like we were told, if you have the time before, God forbid, if you had to like pull the trigger, then you take that deep breath and you think about that 1 second. And there's data that shows that that one breath could literally just save everyone from a catastrophe. And most people like look over that as something, I do breath work, doesn't really help. I've talked to a lot of people that do breath work that helps them, and a lot of people say it doesn't. At the end of the day, I think people need to just take a step back and just look at things from the brighter side and just take a deep breath sometimes and just relax. People get stressed, people get frustrated over things that they don't need to frustrate or get annoyed at.
And maybe in order to actually deal with that level, with whatever they're frustrated with, they just need one moment of reflection to put things in perspective. And that's what that breath really represents in a way. Not only is it a way to quite literally influence your physiology, to give you peace of mind, to give you more blood flow, to lower your heart rate and your stress response, but it just gives you the time to put things in perspective, to think about them. Even if it's 1 second, like that 1 second can be the difference between life or death. It could be the difference between a good decision and a bad decision. It could be the difference between a salvaging a relationship or ending a relationship, you know. So yeah, absolutely agree with you there. And if we could take this back to the self-reflection that I really want people to kind of walk away with, like, what kind of questions do you think people need to ask themselves to reflect? Because I'm sure if like right now, with some of the biggest takeaways that I've had from this conversation, I know I need to have this dedicated practice, right? And I'm sure a lot of people tuning in can say the same thing. But like, once you're actually practicing this, what questions do you need to ask yourself in order to self-reflect? So what are the questions that you've asked yourself? What are the questions that you've asked your team in order to get what you need to level up as a leader and as a team member?
Few questions that I ask myself, like, number one is like, who am I? Like, what the hell am I doing? Like, at the end of the day, am I seeking to start my day by just going on my solo mission, taking care of what I want to take care of and what benefits me? Or am I going about my day and making sure that every person I interact with, I try to leave a good mark on them? You know, the thing that people always say, like, if you just say hi to someone on the road and make them smile, you can change their whole day. I used to laugh at that, be like, it doesn't make a difference. Someone's having a shitty day and you try to make them laugh, they're just going to get angrier with you. But I realized that people just need to be reminded that everything is good. Even though people are experiencing a lot of hardships in life, everyone on different levels, everyone seems to be struggling in many ways. But I think when they start to ask these questions and start to, so there's like not good questions or bad questions, but there's like I said, like, what am I doing good and what am I doing bad? Just being real honest with yourself. So like, you can track what you're doing from a logistical level. Like if you're, like I said, brushing your teeth, if you're drinking enough water, if you're eating enough food, if you're taking care of all those like things that are your health at the end of the day. But then you can break these down into brackets. You can do like food, health, friends, just random people that you meet, like set minor goals in each of these sectors. You can break everything down in your life into a graph and make it a little more simple for the mind to understand, and start correcting certain variables in this equation that we call life. And people, yeah, it's an interesting thing, because like I was very against this stuff and I started applying it in the last year, and I've been seeing tremendous just growth from within myself. And I started just like helping people like try to understand that communication with yourself is just as critical as it is to talk to another human being, because like, we all need our team, we need our family, our tribe, but you also need yourself. And a lot of people lost touch with who they are because they're trying to either mimic someone else's movements or they're trying to portray a certain image that isn't really them. Like if everyone asked themselves truly, like, and acted the way that they really are by nature, then we would see more than half of social media just go down like that. Yeah. Like it's all crap at the end of the day. And people need to tune in more with what's inside of them and what they want to correct, and not try to correct the image of what they're showing people.
Right.
They have to truly correct what they want to correct. And it comes with a lot of honesty, and it's hard. It's very difficult. Because when you start holding yourself accountable and start understanding your weaknesses, even if it's with the most simple things, like, it's tough. It's very tough, and it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of time, and a lot of people don't want to put that energy and time into these things, but these things is where a lot of growth comes for people's character, people's lives, and it's just super, super healthy at the end of the day just to talk to yourself.
And so those two questions, right? Like, who am I, and like, why am I here? Why am I doing what I'm doing, and what's my purpose? Like, those are the biggest questions in life, right? But I think this ability to sort of break them down makes it way more accessible and way more, just makes it possible, right? Because like I love how you broke it down into different areas of your life, and then you can further break those down, because if you ask those are such huge questions. If you ask yourself that in the morning, you're gonna fucking psych yourself out. And if you ask yourself that before you go to sleep, you're not, good luck sleeping, right? Good luck getting some good rest. So it's like, if you actually take a pen, paper, and like break these things down, then you can really take steps towards, like, in a positive direction, because you actually, those steps are small enough to take, yeah. Right? Otherwise, you have this giant leap that you're like, can I even make that leap? You know, it's risky, yeah. Right? So it's like, if you break it down, now all of a sudden it's more actionable.
Yeah, so like one of the methods I use sometimes is that it's a practice in Judaism that every night you just reflect on the good things. So that way you're not, you know, your brain isn't running 100% and then you're just thinking about all the bad things. So like at times it actually does help for me personally to go to sleep when reflecting on the good things. And then in the morning, I like to sometimes start off just reflecting on quote unquote the bad things. And I started, I stopped saying like bad, because nowadays I don't like know what is bad and what's good, because like everything kind of just is, and we decide what is good and bad based off our own experiences. So like something I'm working on big time is just saying like bad, good, whatever. It's just things that need to be corrected. So like for the people that will practice these methods, and let's say if someone were to think about the bad things at night and it stopped them from sleeping, I would say that that in itself is a whole thing that you need to communicate with yourself with and understand, is that there's no need to stress over, quote unquote, the bad things, because those things are good, because it's just a reminder of these small corrections that you need to make. And if you didn't know about the bad things, I would say that's bad. But you know of them, you're aware. The only thing that will come out bad from that is if you don't change.
Right, because now you've noticed, and now you know it's wrong. So if you don't change it, now you're like really doing something wrong. It's one thing to do something wrong; it's another thing to notice you're doing something wrong and keep doing it. That's a real crime. Yeah. So like the way that you see it, and the way that I have previously described this is like it's like a positive reframing of like what otherwise would be failures or mistakes or just bad things about your character. It's like if you can recognize them and if you can reflect to really put these things on paper and like visualize them, like make them super super real and legitimate, all of a sudden these are just opportunities to grow. But if you don't give yourself the chance to really reflect, to breathe, to find that presence, and it's even not just in the mornings and the afternoons, but also in these micro opportunities, like when you're going to react and like all of a sudden you take a moment to breathe, right? You can positively reframe the situation and go, all right, what should I do now? Yeah. You know, so I think that's extremely powerful. And then if we can take this back to, you know, we were having a conversation earlier about how like in the army or leading up to the army and in the army, you had this insane drive, this insane, like, you know, you're just so fired up for life and for the mission, for the objective. Right. And how like now it's difficult to go back to that as a civilian. Like, what are some of the ways that you are taking steps towards bring that fire back to life and then directing it towards a new mission, a new purpose?
Yeah, so it's crazy because
and if you don't mind, can you kind of color in like what your role was in the army, what that was like, where you were enrolled or enlisted, for those who may not be familiar?
So I drafted to the IDF back in 2017. I moved there after high school. I served in special forces units. My role was a light machine gunner, and the guy who would also just carry a lot of weight, just like everyone else. Yeah, it was a crazy experience, man, because before the Army, and that's the thing, is that using those methods that we were speaking about earlier about just communicating with yourself allowed me to understand where I was, like, where my strengths and weaknesses were and certain feelings I was going through in the Army and even prior to the Army when I was training. And it was just, I had this surge of energy, of purpose, honor, pride, you know, all that good stuff that everyone feels right before they go to the military. It was nuts. Like, I was training every day. Me and my best friend were having competitions, running every day, doing crazy, crazy stuff. And at the time, there was one mission, and that mission was to get to the best unit possible. I was shooting for what's called Chayetet. It's like the Navy SEALs.
Chayetet 13.
Yeah, the bad boys of the bad boys, the men's men.
Yeah.
And I understood that in order to get to a place like that and to be with people like that, it would require a certain amount of effort that I have never been able to project before. And just for to touch base, I didn't serve in Chayetet 13. It was a dream of mine. I was not, as much as I trained for it, there were guys that were way more well-prepared than I was, and I realized that gap. And that's the first time I actually got slapped in the face and I understood what true potential is, at least from a more physical standpoint. And there was nothing in the world that mattered.
Physical and mental.
Yeah. Those guys were next level. Next level. It was inspiring to see. And I understood that I didn't train hard enough. I didn't train smart enough, because if I did, then I would have been with those guys. But I understood that there was a fine line between the people who give effort, give 90%, 95, 97, 99, and 100. And that 1% is the difference between you serving with the top of the top and not. So at the time, the only thing that mattered was just to kick ass and to get to these units where you're serving with some of the most loving and respecting and hardworking individuals I've ever met in my life. Everyone who goes to the Army, like in combat, has a certain pride and honor to them that it's, you can't mimic in any field. You wake up every day, you're eating the same shit as everyone, you're taking the same shits as everyone, you're running the same shitty routes as everyone, doing the same crazy stuff every single day. You're all doing the same stuff, and for some reason, no one's complaining. They're just doing what they have to do. And I realized that, like, whatever we were experiencing at the time, and my team and all these guys, it was just mesmerizing to see. I used to complain about a lot of things, like food, weather, all this crap that doesn't matter. And then I got to the Army, and I see these guys. I'm just like, what the hell is this? Everyone in general in the Army, like the guys who serve in combat, it's just like the will to put up with that shit and to just keep going forward, because you know that there's a bigger purpose than your pride, than your own honor, than your ego, that you're putting your life at risk with 30 other dudes that you just met on your first day. It's wild, man. It was crazy. Really, really was crazy on every forefront. Like, in having been around and also being a part of that team where everyone's giving that energy and feeding this energy to the team, you see what real teamwork is, you see what real communication is, you see what real brotherhood is. Like, it's wild. And something that's very difficult is the transition from going from that lifestyle for a few years to civilian lifestyle. It was like a big smack in the face by the universe. It's like, wake up. Welcome back to reality.
Bigger smack than seeing what Chayetet 13.
Yeah, it's bigger smack than anything, dude. Yeah. Like, the Army, we all were young, dumb, crazy, and monsters, and we did what we had to do. But, like, nothing can prepare you for that mental weight from transitioning from being a soldier with purpose, you know, being told what you're doing every day. You have your objectives. You don't complete your objectives, makes you hungrier to finish that objective. You finish your objective, you got another objective. You just keep moving forward. There's no stopping. Move to transition to civilian life. It's like, what the fuck just happened? It's like, I have to get a job. I have to wake up now. I have to take care of all these things. It's like, what's happening? It's a very interesting, it was a very interesting period of my life because it was literally also 4 months prior to COVID. So that,
when you got out of the army.
Yeah. So that was also like, also a very difficult time for everyone in the world. I'm not just going to single myself out there because I think everyone suffered greatly during that time. And to go from being in the army with purpose, with brothers, with just everything, all of that craziness, and then going to civilian life and then COVID was something that no matter how tough I was at the time, no matter how strong I thought I was not mentally prepared for that. It brought me down. It really brought me down. And I just got out of the army serving in special forces. And I was like, not the only thing that's going to bring me down is if I get shot in the head. A bullet to the head is the only thing that's going to stop me. Never in my life could I ever think that fucking COVID would stop me. That shit hit harder than anything in my life. I struggled big time. I struggled with communicating with people. I struggled with socializing and just pretty much everything. I lost touch with who I was as a human being because in Israel at the time we had lockdowns and I'm not the kind of person who you can lock down. Yeah. I'm more of a nomad type of guy who needs to be out and about moving around. So there was no work at the time. There was no money coming in. It was just very, very dark times for me mentally. And my outlet, once they lifted a certain sanction saying that you can now leave further than 1,000 meters from your house and you can, if you're doing workouts, all of a sudden everyone in Israel became a runner. It was awesome. The whole country just became runners and everyone was just getting out of their house. So I had to channel in it and release all this pent up depression, energy, like whatever it was that was just bringing me down. I started cycling every day, 2 hours, training MMA 4 hours every day, swimming for 2 hours in the ocean. And that was my outlet. And then I realized that like, no matter how much I try, like when I go to work, if I work at an office, it just won't work because I'm not that guy. And that's what brought me back here to Vermont at the end of the day, is I'm a military and disciplinary and firearm instructor for around 110 kids from ages 12 to 17. And I hadn't been in the wilderness in actually over two years. And I didn't understand how much it was missing from my life and how much I really needed it until I got here. I feel like this is what my true calling is. It's just being outside, being out with people, helping people, showing people what a more natural life is. You know, not obviously telling people move out here, this is what life should be. Everything should be balanced. You know, if you're living in the big cities, you got to get out to the wilderness at least for 1 month throughout the year, minimum. The more the merrier if you can. I know that's difficult with people's schedules. But like the first day I got here in Vermont, it just felt like something deep, deeply rooted inside of me was ripped out. Something that was a bit of a poisonous root.
Like it's almost like the feeling of being contained. Yeah. That is what you would traumatize. Well, one of the things that traumatized you when all of us were during COVID, it's like we were contained. And so being here, you have unlimited, it's unlimited. There's no container. You can just roam. And it's just part of human nature, right? To have this access.
Yeah, it's the first time I can remember ever since I turned or became a young adult that I can breathe. I can breathe, think clearly. You know, for the last few years, I've been debating, like, what do I want to do in life? What is my mission? You know, full circle back to the initial conversation about talking to yourself and communicating, understanding what the hell am I doing here? I've been having that spiritual battle for so many years now. Just been lost in every possible way. All it took was 24 hours. My first 24 hours in Vermont, out of the big city in Miami, after being there for 2.5 years. I'm still living there, but you know, I just got out to Vermont for 6 weeks for this program. Shout out to Pioneers Camp, best camp in the world. Within the first 24 hours, I understood that this is what the fuck I need to do in life. And this is what a lot of people need. if not everyone. Everyone needs to ground themselves and to be reminded what life used to be like and to get closer with nature. You know, it's something so tranquil, just driving down the roads. No billboards, no advertisements in your face telling you you need this. You're not up to date with that. You know, it's just trees, man. Just fucking trees, bro. Just breathing in your face. And this is something that I've been missing greatly. I think that a lot of people are missing it a lot. And people don't understand that because people struggle to understand the smallest things in life. This is one of the biggest things. And people miss out on it because they're afraid, because they're so comfortable in their luxury, bougie homes or just the lifestyle they live. A lot of people don't like to challenge themselves when it comes to being uncomfortable. People like a good challenge if it's work-related and there's a nice little, you know, some money at the end. That
yeah, people tangible give you. Bonus. Yeah,
yeah. Here, it's just people don't understand that what you're going to benefit out here is far greater than any currency can fill for you.
So it's almost like, you know, when you're describing this self-reflection and introspection, literally and figuratively, you can't have a container, right? It's like if you're in a place like this where you're in nature, where quite literally, man, we can look out in hundreds of yards into every direction, right? All of a sudden, you can reflect without a container. Literally and figuratively, if you're at home or if you're in an office and you're trying to reflect, you're almost like bound by the walls and the immediate environment and what everyone else is thinking, what everyone else is doing. So it's unless you put yourself in nature without limits, you can't really reflect on some of the most important themes behind the human experience. Like we were born to be in nature. 100%. So it's like, why would you put your life in perspective while you're stuck in a box?
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Quite literally and figuratively. It's a crazy thing because like part of this program, like what happened on our first week, the kids came in. You have age groups. The oldest age group is obviously the most rowdy, wild boys. Awesome, awesome group of guys. One of the nights, they were making a lot of noise. I went down to their campsite and I yelled, "Be quiet. Why you guys are keeping me up at 1:30 in the morning?" They said, "Sorry, sir, we won't make any more noise." I laughed a bit. It's cute when they say sir. I go back up. 45 seconds later, they're still yelling. I was like, okay, they're gonna be boys. I had to remind myself what it's like to be a kid. Like, gotta give them some space, you know. I can't just always scare them and discipline them. Gotta show them love and respect too. However, one of the kids yelled out the F word. And I was like, oh no, that's not happening. 2 in the morning, I go back down. I yell at the top of my lungs, 120 seconds, everyone out of the tents. But 11 guys get out of the tents. I'm like, wait a second, this group's a lot bigger. So I asked one of the boys, I'm like, is everyone here? He looked at me confidently. He says, yes. I said, are you sure? He said, yes, I'm sure. I continued to yell. About 10 minutes later, about another 18 guys come out of their tents. Yeah. About like 18, 20 guys. They're all like, oh, I was asleep. I didn't know. I'm just there. I had them all on their fists on rocks and mud in push-up position.
What time is it?
2 in the morning.
in the middle of fourth.
Yeah. And for 45 minutes, they're on their fists on rocks and mud in push-up position. I'm just talking to them, like telling them, like, listen. However you guys speak at home, however you guys speak with your friends, whatever you do at home, I could care less. That's your private life. I'm not going to get into that with you guys. However, we're here on this program. The way you speak to each other is unacceptable. You need to learn to love, to respect, and to work together as a team. And I keep reminding them that the more we apply those simple things, the team will become more and more unbreakable. And I'm teaching these kids a lot is that learn to communicate with each other because like nowadays kids and like iPhones and everything, it's aggressively deteriorating. Their ability to actually communicate in a thorough, efficient way where the kids will actually sit down, listen, analyze, and implement.
It almost like gives you the impression that the communication is really good, right? The way that you can react to stories, send emojis, send voice memos, and like keep up with someone's life, quote unquote, right? Like it almost gives you the impression that you're really there with somebody and that you're really communicating, but it's devoid of so many of the essential, you know.
It's devoid of everything, man. Like I've already cut that. Like I've already understood that a long time ago, that whatever this is that's occurring in the world nowadays with the phones, it's just not it. For me, it's not. You know, there are people that thrive off of it, and there are people that love just being able to communicate immediately, and I do too. But like something about just being face to face with people and just reciprocating that energy, that the emotions, reading someone's body language, all that natural stuff is what I live for and what I breathe for. It's like the more I am with technology, the more aware that I'm so unhappy.
Because you're literally robbing yourself of things that human beings are born to do with other people, born to do, that are born with in order to survive, right? Like we're not born to survive just independently. Like we're born to be in these tribes. And so if you give me the surface level impression that I'm getting what I need as a human being, but really deep down I'm not getting that kind of fulfillment as a human being. Like these are my human, in a way, needs, right? It's like you just end up becoming unhappy. Like surface level, like, oh, you might be, let's say, communicating with, wishing everyone a happy birthday with Facebook, right? And whatever, Meta. and like, oh, you like this story, or like, oh, I got back to your DM, right? But it's like, yeah, on a surface level, you're there. But on a deeper level, you're really neglecting something that's so essential, which is the human connection that no matter how advanced social media or the internet gets, it can never fully replicate.
Yeah, my issue is that, like, I know a lot of brilliant, bright people, and I hate it. I don't hate it. Hate's a strong word. I dislike that when people are very aware of these repercussions from all this stuff, but then they're just like, they're aware of it, but they don't care. Self-negligence, it's just, it hurts not only them, but it hurts everyone else. And like I said, that's part of the whole communicating with yourself. It's just being honest. And the worst thing you can do, apart from lying to someone else, is to lie to yourself. Because that'll just carry on and that'll become a recurring behavior that will just become the norm for you. The more you practice that, the more you normalize that for yourself, it just hurts. And you're not even aware of how you're digging away at your soul when you're just lying to yourself. That's why communication is so critical, like on from every perspective. It's a wild thing, because I used to be very, very cut off from people. I used to not share my emotions. I went through a lot of mental struggles with that stuff. But you know, everyone says, bro, just talk to me, you know, write, get a journal. You know, everyone's always initial reaction is going to be like, F off. You don't, shit doesn't help. Like I know what works for me. I know what's best for me. But like at the end of the day, it's so simple. And I wish I could have applied that earlier, but I learned the hard way. And for some people like myself, learning the hard way is actually the best way, because some people won't really make a change or listen until life pushes them into a corner and just sits them on their ass. And that happened to me multiple times. And thank God that I actually learned from those situations and didn't just ignore them.
It's unbelievable, because as you made the transition saying that, the light just shined in your eyes. I went from being totally dark to light shining through the trees onto your face. I don't think that was a coincidence at all. That was pretty amazing. You know what's interesting is one of the there's a TED talk by a woman named Kelly McGonigal. She's a Stanford PhD in psychology. She's a Stanford psychologist, and she has, I think, to this day the most viewed TED talk of all time. It's called Making Stress Your Friend. And a mechanism that she describes, which is just fucking amazing, and you just reminded me of it, is how when we have this stress response, our body actually produces or secretes oxytocin, that cuddle hormone, that love hormone. And it's because when we're stressed out, I mean, the way that we've evolved, when we're stressed out, we kind of in a way need that social bond to help carry us through and to survive, because so much of our survival is really rooted in having people around us and working together through things. So it's like, she describes how one of the best ways that you can take advantage of this is like when you're stressed, like your body wants to talk, you want to talk to somebody. Your body's is really pushing you to do that because it needs it. And I think a lot of, you know, just the way that modern society is today, and again, I think maybe social media plays into this. It's like, and especially this is especially prevalent, you know, within men is vulnerability is seen as such a major weakness. And if you look at this physiologically and biologically, it's vulnerability is really a strength. It's quite literally powering you through what you're dealing with and making you stronger and also making you a better team member, a better family member, whatever. Again, scaling this back to the earlier conversation, whatever group that you're consciously or unconsciously part of, like it will make your, it will strengthen you and it'll strengthen your role within that group. So it's like you quite literally have this human connection built into your stress response that's there to protect you, that's there to empower you. So you can really, you know, give it, let's, I think one of the biggest takeaways here is let that work for you, not against you. Yeah. Because if your body's doing that and then you're saying no, like you're really shooting yourself in the foot there.
You're swimming against the river. And this is a heavy river, man. It's white waters. You're not going to survive there.
Yeah.
Most people won't ever admit or agree, but everyone's vulnerable. No one's going to convince me otherwise. Yeah. And that's what builds strength. And the people who hide away from that know damn well that they're vulnerable because there's always a bigger shark out there. Bigger body of government, bigger army, whatever it is. Everyone's vulnerable and there's no reason to veer away from that or to be afraid of it. I don't understand that. It's interesting.
Well, we do have to sign off here. And I think one of the last things I want to share from my end is just reflecting on all this is, dude, what I've noticed from people like you, like Ariel, like Israel, which is another friend of ours. Shout out to Israel if he's tuning in, who's also part of our Know Your Physio Handsome Gentlemen's community. Shout out to the community. It's you guys are without a doubt the most loving people I ever met. Typically, I wouldn't assume people like you were in the army. I would just assume you're just happy people and loving people. But really understanding what it takes to be a good team member, I completely understand how, in a way, maybe this is one of the reasons why you even enrolled in the army is because you had this in you and you knew being part of a team would help you take this further. But also being in the army makes that even stronger. It makes that even more, brings even more awareness to the fact that you need to be a loving person to really get by in life and to make it big and to accomplish the mission, if you want to put it that way. Yeah. So I just want to say, man, like you guys are genuinely the most loving people. I can't thank you for that enough. And I can't thank you enough for being so open and so vulnerable about this experience and about your general life experience, because there's so much that you're here to teach us. And so much of what you're here to teach us, it's not about who's the most badass leader or who can, I don't know, hold the biggest guns and the biggest muscles and run the fastest. It's like, how can you do that in a way that really serves the planet? In order to do that, in order to really do that individually and collectively, you just need to have so much love and you need to give so much of that love. So I just want to say that I really appreciate you for that, man. You're one of the most loving human beings I've ever met, and I'm still getting to know you, you know. But I can't thank you for that enough.
Wow. Thank you for those very beautiful and loving words. And I could say the same. Like, first met you and your brother, and you guys were very warm, welcoming, and your family at your birthday party, it was a
that was a fun time.
Beautiful experience, man. And just every experience I have with you or anyone from your family is top notch. Like, definitely one of my favorite people to spend time with, anyone, like everyone in your family in Miami. And the last thing I want to say is everyone is awesome, dude. They just need to be reminded that and they just need to be shown what it is to really love and be respected. Most people are afraid and they need to be reminded that there's nothing to be afraid about.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you, bro.
There we go.
Thank you, bro.
My pleasure.
So that's all for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. For all of the show notes, including clickable links to anything and everything that we discussed today, everything from discount codes to videos to research articles, books, tips, tricks, techniques, and of course, to learn more about the guest on today's episode, all you have to do is head to my website, andrespreschel.com. That's AndresPreschel.com, and go to podcasts. You can also leave your feedback, questions, and suggestions for future episodes, future guests, so on and so forth. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next one. Have a lovely rest of your day.